Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Whole Foods Market, proud to celebrate 20 years on Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For List, now hiring all skill levels in a store near you. Search for jobs online at WFM.com/careers. You don't get a lot of oohs and ahs from the gathering before the game when you talk to the media, but after all day of everybody out there tweeting back and forth who's going to start, Terry Rozier or Marcus Smart, you kind of threw him a little curveball, which is kind of nice for at this stage of the season. What is the thinking behind Shane starting tonight?
Well, Shane is coming off of the time that he's missed. He's played a little bit since then, but he's fresh, and he's a guy that is probably going to be better off playing when he's warm. And so being able to come right from warm-ups to starting, and then the other idea and the main idea behind it is keeping the bench unit together, because the bench unit has been so good.
Especially on Saturday night, obviously. And you made specific reference to Marcus and Terry playing well together, which is sort of interesting. I think that's something that a lot of people are watching. Do their games replicate each other? Do they not? And yet this last stretch of games, when they play together, they played remarkably well. Why?
Well, I think even you go back to the Chicago series and Washington series last year, when those guys came off the bench together, they were excellent. And, anytime you've got a whole new team, there's going to be some adjustment period and some of that at the start of the year. Those guys have been used to playing together. They're used to making plays for one another. Their skill sets complement each other well. It allows Terry to play off the ball and be as much of a scoring guard as he is a point guard. And then, obviously, I think everybody's going to be a little bit better when you've got a guy like Marcus Morris going the way he is right now.
You use the expression, they maximize their possessions, talking about the Rockets on Saturday night. When you were closing your eyes and thinking about a team maximizing possessions, what are you thinking about?
Well, I mean, in a game like that, we had four or five turnovers in the backcourt that were, we've got the ball, we just don't secure the rebound, or maybe we threw the outlet pass away. Like, we just can't have those. You're going to make mistakes in the half court. That's going to happen. The other team's playing, too. There's activity. We've been great at handling the basketball over the last month. We just can't make that many errors if you expect it to beat a team like Houston. And it's funny because, I thought we actually did a lot of good things defensively, and we still gave up 120 points. But it shows you how potent they are.
When we were here in December, Kyrie didn't play in that game. That was when the Bulls were rolling with Mirotić. Robin Lopez was playing a lot. Justin Holiday was playing a lot. Now, if you watched the last game against Dallas, and I'm sure so many of you did, what this is the deal that they made last summer. Those guys are playing now. Bobby Portis is going to start now for this next little stretch. And there seems to be an energy that comes with sort of that future is now kind of thing.
There's no question. They played Philly a few nights ago, and Portis had 38. They played Dallas the other day. They're down 10 in the fourth, and they come back and win by 8. And it was a game that all those young guys made plays. When you looked at that trade over the summer, everybody had their own opinion on it. But when you watch Dunn, Levine, when you watch Markkanen, this is a good young core. We're going to have to play well. We know that. I mean, in the NBA, every game's its own entity, and we've seen that in our two Bulls games. They played great. We played poorly. We got our butts kicked. We played great. They ran out of steam. We won the second game. Now we'll see what happens tonight.
We didn't get a real good look at Markkanen, and he didn't have a great game in Boston. Obviously didn't play in the game here in December. What have you seen? We've seen Dunn. We've talked about him. We've seen Levine and talked about him. Where is Markkanen in the second half of his rookie year?
He just demands so much attention because of the way he can shoot the ball, and he shoots it at such a high release point. It's hard to challenge if you're a smaller guy. The one thing that we did see Markkanen do in the game at TD Garden was that was a loud crowd. That was an active, energetic game on our part, and there were two times in the first half where he came down and hit threes in times where rookies don't usually hit them. He stopped the momentum of the home team, and I think that speaks to his mental toughness, his emotional toughness, and he's shown that throughout the course of the year.
As the head coach, I don't want to go too far down this road because the story is just breaking now, but I think it's really fascinating. Brian Windhorst today from ESPN wrote the story that the NBA is going to start getting involved here when it comes to high school players, when it comes to 18-year-old players, bridging the gap, obviously, with everything that's happened here with college and the one-and-done rule. And without going too far down the road, because nothing is official yet, can the NBA be a positive influence on 17, 18-year-old kids whose future, immediate future, is probably basketball?
Well, I had the privilege of speaking at the rookie transition program this summer and being one of the coaches that came and just told the players what my two cents were with regard to the challenges that are ahead, how hard the league is, how much of a responsibility we all have to represent the league and our own organizations well and everything else. And I think the earlier that we can get to kids, the better. It's not necessarily the NBA, the NCAA. It's It's just the more good things they're hearing early, and not just good, but realistic, and setting realistic expectations is a good thing. There's a lot of kids that are getting great mentoring. I think that the NBA, with all of its resources, could add to that. And you look at when you're 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, and people are starting to write every article about you, and you haven't ever made an error in your life, and everybody's holding on you such a high pedestal. It's good to have people also giving a realistic assessment of where you are and where you need to go to be at the level you ultimately want to be at. You know, I think that that is a part of it. I think the education part of it, with all of the things that's coming down the path for those kids with regard to media relations, with regard to the challenges that come with being a young guy in the limelight. And there's a lot that certainly they could add to them.
Russ, no one comes to you about the one and done guys, because that was really your area of focus, right?
What
was the closest you ever came?
You know what's really interesting is at Butler, we always thought that one and done rule was to our advantage.
Oh, it had to be.
Because we, weren't wasting time on recruiting those guys. And so, you know, the big schools would fight over one guy, and we could get the next level. And then the second part is, by the time our guys were juniors and seniors, they could beat those guys in given games. And so, you know, ultimately, we felt like that was a big bonus for us at the time. Now, we still would have, if we could have gotten one and duns, we would have gotten one and duns. There's no question about it. We weren't in the race.
Celtics and Bulls next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Celtics Radio Network.